Welcome to the Homily Studio for Sunday the 10th of August, which is the 19th Sunday in Ordinary Time. And as always, we begin by finding out who is going to be part of this inspiring conversation today.
Kia ora, magandang araw. I'm Maya Bernardo. I'm the current coordinator for Migrant Ministry and Formation for the Archdiocese of Wellington. Happy to be here.
Great to have you, Maya.
I am Rocío Figueroa. I am a theologian that works at the Catholic Theological College in Auckland, New Zealand.
Kia ora tata. My name's Colin McLeod. I'm the director for NCRS, which is part of Te Kupinga, which is a flash title for a wonderful job of just looking after RE for Catholic schools, writing resources and the likes, down here in sunny Dunedin.
Sunny Dunedin, Dunedin and Wellington and Auckland represented, and Christchurch. John O'Connor here, also in the South Island of New Zealand with Colin in Otatahi in Christchurch. Let's begin in a moment of stillness and silence, remembering, as I say, I think almost every time now, that when we pray, we're not trying to twist the arm of God to do what we want. We're relaxing into the divine will for us, which is more than we could ever ask or imagine. That divine will which is planted in the depth of our heart. And if we ask, what do I want? What do I really, really want? What do I really, really, really want? Then we find the will of God. There are people listening in many places. So for all of you who are listening and for those you love, we pray using the entrance antiphon, the entrance antiphon for this Sunday. Look to your covenant, O Lord, and forget not the life of your poor ones forever. Arise, O God, and defend your cause. Forget not the cries of those who seek you. Wow, it's so often with these entrance antiphons, which we often replace with a hymn, which is fine. What great words to hear. Forget not the life of your poor ones. Arise, defend your cause. Forget not the cries of those who seek you. So we who seek God gather in conversation this morning. Who's going to begin? Rocío, we haven't heard from you for too long. It's been months and months and months. So
reading for preparing for that, I said, oh, I was missing this. this time of prayer with you guys and
miss
reflection.
You too very much, Rocío.
Yeah, I miss it. So actually, it's one of my favorite. I will talk about the gospel because it's one of my favorite passages. And I really love the one where Jesus says, do not be afraid any longer, little flock, for your Father is pleased to give you the kingdom. So I think it really has always talked to me because I think we are full of fears. We are always scared of the future, scared of dangers, scared of many things. And what I like here is that Jesus is very positive. Mm. Sometimes I think we Catholics highlight too much the giving up, renunciation, cross, suffering. Like for me, it's like we have highlighted too much in our lives. And here the word, what I like is God, his Father is pleased to give you the kingdom. It's pleased means that he's joyful, that he is so happy to give us the kingdom. So it is, I think we have to understand more our Christian life as a place of flourishing more. And that God wants us to be happy, wants us to flourish as human beings. So that's the first line that I would just.
Thank you, Rocío. That's great. We had a conversation, of course, before we pressed record, and that conversation itself should have been recorded. But I was thinking as you were speaking right now, Rocío, that it'd be wonderful to hear, and you can through this podcast at some stage, make a comment relating what you've just said about the delight of God to some of the work you've been doing in recent weeks since we saw you last. So you can do that now, or we can come back to you.
You can come back.
You can come back.
So we can listen to others.
Colin, you were bursting to go there.
Yeah, look, I just applaud that sentiment. I think the whole point of being Christian and Catholic Christian is to be joyful. I'm pretty sure at What it prompted me listening to you, Rossio, is I write background notes at the moment for some of the material that's being generated for year 7 and 8, so 11 and 12 year olds. We're doing some material on being church is the topic, and I'm just describing at the moment free will, and I found myself writing teachers, because these are notes for teachers. Teachers emphasize the joy of this gift of free will as opportunity and encouragement and trust, rather than as a weight to be put on their shoulders to be, as a blame for all the things that they've done wrong. And I think it's exactly, we talk quite a bit in the curriculum about that the kingdom is both now and yet to come. We try to get our kids into that sense. We're very Catholic to be in two places at once. To hold two ideas in two separate hands. And, it's not just that the Father is pleased to give us the kingdom, but the Father has given us the kingdom. We have it. It's not something that we're in this context that we are aspiring to participate in. It is something we're already in there. So why aren't we making the most of it,
Indeed.
For me, probably it reveals more of my state of mind at the moment. But what really came, what struck me from first and second reading, and even the gospel, is that notion of readiness. So the first reading was the Israelites were reminded of Passover, and then at the second reading, Paul was, if Paul indeed wrote the letter to the Hebrews, was reminding the Jewish Christians of the faith that was asked of Abraham. And in the gospel, there were two types of readiness, of us being prepared. One is the arrival of the master, someone important, or the being prepared when a thief arrives in the night. So that notion of readiness was the one that struck me in all those readings. And what does that mean? And ready for what? I think in my entire life, or everyone's life, is a series of readiness. Do we prepare to be prepared? We childhood, we prepare to be adults. Adults, we prepare for old age, old age. Even in conversations, we prepare for conversations. We prepare after this, we prepare for something else. We prepare for bed. It's an iteration of one preparation over the other. But that's the end of it. And I guess that's what would connect to what Roshu brought in the first week. We're prepared for the kingdom of God. And probably me, in my current state of mind, I'm more in the drill of being prepared and actually being, kind of welcoming at the end of it is actually pure joy and a promise of embrace of God.
There's probably a great link we can make there to last week's readings. Remember that you do not know the day, be ready, you fall like this very night, which is a bit of a fire and brimstone theme, but readiness is quite a beautiful thing. It's an expectancy and it's an alive and eager hope. And I love too the theme of joy that's come out both in what you've said, Rossio and Colin. Do you know that episode of The Simpsons where Marge dies, like all the others have died, and Marge dies, and she gets up to heaven, and because Marge is not Catholic, of course, she doesn't get to go to the Catholic section of heaven. But does anyone know this episode?
Yes, Marge
No,
goes to
no.
Protestant heaven.
So
Yes.
Marge goes naturally to Protestant heaven, and it's all very serious, and they're praying croquet, and they're dressed very well, and the conversation's very polite. But she's looking for Bart and Homer and can't find them anywhere, and says to St. Peter, "Look, where's my family?" And St. Peter points to the distance, and there's a party going on with the sign Catholic Heaven. People are dancing and drinking and fighting and all of that. But there is something about that I really love. Like there's something about these people are really alive. Like there's a great energy in life. And I just want to link that into the beautiful second reading. It is by faith. And we often have this understanding of faith is that I need more, I haven't got enough. In fact, faith's my understanding is it's really like breathing. If I said to any group, "Do you have faith?" or any person, they'd say, "Well, yes, but I need more," or "Yes, but it's not very strong." But if I said to you, "Are you breathing?" your answer would be yes or no. So when we think about faith, the answer is just yes or no. Because if we've got a mustard seed's worth, it's enough. And that's the very thing that fills us with joy and rejoicing. That's the thing that makes us ready. Like it's not about us. It's about the gift that we have received, which is faith. And that's what we just need to live it.
And I was thinking what you were saying about the fact of readiness. What does it mean to be ready? No, I was thinking, yes, what does it mean to be ready? And I think that Jesus himself gives us the answer during the parables, because it is also a little bit of discipline, a little bit of do our best each day, but at the same time, is more than just service. Is more because Jesus really sees how the social roles is like the inversion of the social roles, because he talks about how servants and masters, you have to be a servant, but then the master comes and he serves. So it is more than just be a servant. It is all these inverse kind of dynamics that we have to do, and it's very concrete, I would say. And also the readiness. I was thinking about that, like regarding don't be afraid. Why? Because to be ready to life, which life is complicated. Life, and we want stability. We don't want change. We want, our safe place. But life is not like that. Life is, and I think it's be ready is also be ready to the new, be ready to not control your life, be ready to change, be ready to the difficulties, be ready to the joys, like detach yourself from the control. For me is to be ready, and that for me that means to have faith that there is someone else that is in charge and not me. And for me that is so hard, really. I have to say it's so hard. I sometimes I want to know or have control of my own life, and I can't. And it's day after day that I think it's for me that is to have faith in God, to let it be, to really give him the power of form of my life every day, no? In and for me that is to be every day becomes God's day. So in that way, in the God's day becomes the kingdom of God, because I am putting God in the center of my day. So I am beginning installing the kingdom in my heart, and that is what it says. Now, where is your heart, is your treasure. So everything for me is really intertwined, no, between kingdom, faith, readiness, all together.
The challenge, Rocio, I'm trying to think of a metaphor. It's more of a kaleidoscope than it is sort of a beam of light, because in my sense, I was thinking about and preparing for this beforehand, and I stumbled into that gap of thinking, not enough faith and not doing enough to participate in this kingdom. Then I thought, well, hang on, I work for the church. I'm on a parish council and bishops' committees and do homily studios and things like that. So it's sort of quite a lot. And I'm thinking, but I know that I've got to do a whole lot more. And it made me think, I think exactly as you've described, that this readiness and faith isn't about a sort of a consistent position. It's about a minute, moment by moment recognition of a journey that has sort of ended and begun. It's so the notion of participating in the kingdom of God, I can have three thoughts in a moment, and all of them sort of are a different facet, a different sort of piece of that kaleidoscope. And I went to one of the things I was going to say at the start. I'm a shocker because I like the long readings anyway, so you can ignore this next suggestion. But my suggestion is for the readings on Sunday, take the long one rather than the shorter one, because the paragraph that a number of comments have come out is omitted altogether in the shorter version. And that paragraph finishes, "For where your treasure is, there will your heart be." I love the invitation of that, again, in this sort of kaleidoscope, to name my treasure, to actually spend time with it. It could be the beautiful smile of my wife, and I could walk in the door from work. It could be some food that I've eaten, a chance to celebrate, the person I sing next to at Eucharist, to be conscious that my heart becomes there because I treasure it, and I treasure it because it is a gift from God and it's part of this kingdom.
Amen.
I'd like to take on the beautiful smile of your wife and a metaphor for what makes faith a different kind of readiness. Like you could be ready for the wedding, but are you ready to share your life with someone or with that someone? And that requires a different level of readiness, the openness to the mystery of this person. Speaking as someone who haven't been, who is not married, but that I think that's the mystery of marriage is that you open yourself to the uncertainty of what this person could be in the long run.
It's
My
Ross's point.
grandmother
We're
is,
not in control. I never see it more
yes.
than in people who are married. Like when you say, I do on day one, you have no idea. Really? What will
Yeah,
unfold?
it's true. And we change, and we ourselves, we don't have idea what will happen to us.
Yeah, indeed. And thank God we
And I guess
do.
with faith, it's leaning to the
Yes.
unknown, isn't it?
Thank God.
When you lean into that mystery of not knowing, and yet knowing that you are known by God, and that's enough. You cling not so much to a vision, which is it has a human practice in planning, but you cling to a promise, and you cling to it not because it is God who promised. It's not just anyone.
I'm a little distracted right now. Maybe it's not distraction. Having an experience that I think most people have when listening to a homily. And Colin, you're to blame for this because the moment you mentioned the word kaleidoscope,
Yeah, me
my
too.
mind just, all of a sudden there's movement and color. And I think, well, what an extraordinary, powerful image. But so a couple of very brief points here. The first is that I think when people listen to homilies, so here's a comment not so much for the preachers, but for those who are listening, I've got to try and understand and concentrate on the homily. But I'd say no. I'd say, look, the main point is we listen to the Lord speak. And the moment we sense the Lord speaking, and maybe it's the image of the kaleidoscope, and away we go, that's it's okay to stay there. But the second the brief point is just the look, I'm going to use this image. I'm going to steal it, Colin, and I'm not going to say where I got it, which is the ultimate affirmation for you. I steal your
You're
idea.
very welcome.
The kaleidoscope. You see, this kaleidoscope, there's no imperfect position. So when you turn the kaleidoscope, it goes into different shapes and colors, and like everyone is beautiful. And you think there's, what a beautiful one. I'd love to frame this. And then that slight accidental turn and think, oh, well, that's even better. But imagine that the one turning the kaleidoscope is the divine. That's not me in control. Back to your first point there, Rocio. I'm not in control of this kaleidoscope. I just need to relax and admire. Like I don't even need to do the work of turning the kaleidoscope. Now, I'm very aware that some people listening who are younger than some of us may not even know what a kaleidoscope is. I don't know, I've just got a computer. But
I
as a
hope they
kid,
know.
my grandparents, I remember, had a kaleidoscope. But well, so Colin, thank you for that. But it links
And
into that.
Colin, I'm surprised, and I think it's providential because yesterday I was watching a film, a rom-com that I love rom-coms, and my husband patiently puts on because he knows that I like rom-coms. And there was a song in, but my husband is a musician, and there was an incredible song called Love is a Kaleidoscope.
Oh.
So actually, he was impressed by the song. So we went to find it, and we were singing after the two of us. We were singing the song, and I was impressed by that singer who said, "Love is a kaleidoscope."
Rocio, can you send us a link? I'm going to attach
Yeah,
that in a moment. You
I
can
will.
find
I
this
will
on.
because it's quite beautiful. It's
Yeah.
quite beautiful song. So I think really when I heard you saying kaleidoscope, I was like, wow. Yesterday I was singing with my husband about love is a kale is like a kaleidoscope, and I think it fits perfect with the presence of God in our life, which always is quite interesting that Jesus talks about like coming as a thief. So it's fascinating the fact he uses the word like a thief, like someone who surprises you. And I think it links with a lecture, with a reading of today that we are in these waves, and he comes to surprise us, and we do not have control of the boat, or we have to be out of the boat or in the boat, and we don't have control. So, yeah, I think that's beautiful. Thank you. That was really good, Colin.
Maya.
I think I'm trying to put together our initial conversation on joy. And then readiness. And I realize, we need to be ready for joy. It's some people sometimes we think, oh, we're always ready for joy. Actually, we're not. As much as we need to prepare for sleep or for rest. And what does it mean to be ready for joy, for that kind of joy, for the joy that God gives?
Yes, and also, well, it finishes using, if we use the long reading, it says much will be required of the person entrusted with much, and still more will be demanded of the person entrusted with more. And I think here, all of us, which work, as you say, we work for the church, we do a lot of things. The question of Peter, it's especially, I think, for all of those who are leaders, no, in our church and have any kind of leadership. I think more than anyone, we have to be open to God's kingdom, to God's day, to the joy, because we have to lead by our own life. And as you say, it's not easy. So I think it's also reminding of our responsibility, no, because each talent and gift comes with responsibility at the same time. And yeah, we have to remind each other our own responsibility, having any kind of power or leadership. No, sometimes we think just about service, but we do not realize that we have a power also, and we have to talk about it. How I am using the power that I have in my teaching, in my work in the parish, in my work in, you know, in the diocese, etc. No, and also priests, how I use my power.
Think a lot of what we're saying goes back to the one of my hobby horse questions is, who is the protagonist in my life? Like, is it me and my attachments and my desires and my dreams and projects? Or am I letting the Lord be the protagonist? And I know John Kinder, I think every time John is on, he brings us back on the homily studio, he brings us back to the responsory psalm. And I think there are some lines in liturgy that are repeated two or three times. We say, Lamb of God, two or three times, a couple of other times. But the responsory is chanted or said half a dozen times. And today it's happy the ones, happy the people the Lord has chosen as his own. Who's the protagonist? The Lord. But that's why we can relax. It's that that gives us joy. It's that fact. We are chosen. Now we can immediately go down a track and, oh, that's a bit unfair on those who weren't chosen. But in a way, that's an unhelpful. What is it for me to be chosen? What is it for us to be chosen? And a homilist might even suggest that the very fact that someone is listening to a homily on this Sunday is a fact that they've been chosen. Now, they may feel as though they were dragged along or manipulated to get there in some way, or they were the driver for someone else who wanted. But whatever the method that God has used, we today are the chosen. And I think that's something really worth savoring.
And there's a real human resonance of that. To be chosen is a wonderful feeling. I found myself too reflecting on it and thinking, how often do I remind myself that I've been chosen? If you're a kid in a group of people and the two other kids are picking a team and they're picking people one after the other, you're just desperate to be chosen, not last, or at least included. And I don't know that that feeling ever really leaves us. And it's again, it's the there's a sense of gift, a warmth of inclusion, that in no stage, no matter what way of life we are, whether we've done something horrific and are locked up in a prison, or whether we're living our best life as we can, performing on a stage, or whatever it is, that in actual fact, at no point are we not chosen.
And I think I love that, Colin. Really, I love it because I think that, it doesn't matter what happens to our lives when we are chosen. I have been linking of what you were asking me about Africa. I was a consecrated person, a religious woman for more than 20 years of my life, and I had to leave because there were all perpetrators of abuse, and I was the whistleblower denouncing. So I felt a sense of abandonment from God in that moment, no? A sense of where was my calling? Where were you? Where are you? No, like so lost and disorientated and sad. And now I see my life, and I see, because actually I left, I got married, But now I am doing more for Jesus and for the kingdom than when I was consecrated. So it's so, and I went to Africa, and I was with us. I am working with religious sisters against abuse. In this year, I went to Lesotho and to Rwanda, and we were doing workshops and we were forming them, and one of them turned to me at the end and said, and she said, "You are one of us." And it was like a little bit, "You are one of us," she said, because I said, "Well, I'm not a sister." "No, you are one of us," she said. No? And it was beautiful because I understood the consecration of God does not depend, God is always loyal. God is always loyal to the chosen ones. And you can go through many problems or sufferings, and I have in my life have seen how God is so loyal, and he's, like he's always there, and we are always chosen.
Rocio, thank you so much for that contribution, because I know so many people who are listening who have been hurt within the church, who are suffering, and who see the imperfections so clearly and even the evil so clearly. But what you are saying is the hope. Like you are saying now that, while what happened back then was so bad, you said, even now, I am doing more for Jesus. There's a wonderful line in theology. I don't know where I picked it up. God writes straight with crooked lines.
Yes.
I feel I'm living in the midst of the crooked lines. But when I look back, I see, ah. Now, look, I can't believe how quickly that time's gone. But we've got a take home. Who's going to offer a take home?
I'm happy, just happy. Be happy. I am happy to share with you. I'm really happy. So I love this sharing together. That's Christian life. That's Christian life, to share our faith, to remind one of to another, be the
Yeah.
memory for the other. So thank you.
Thank you, Rosie.
My take home is readiness, and God invites us to a different kind of readiness, one that does not rely on our well-crafted plans, but on our faith. And to do that, there's also some things we can do to nurture our faith. We would know if we are ready. We prepare ourselves for God by the little things like everyday prayer, being sensitive to God's presence in our lives, because it's not just about the big coming of God, or like the second coming or the apocalyptic event, but it's more being aware of the many ways that God made God's presence felt in our lives. The many surprises, the messages that's whispered in our ears, that readiness comes through and in nurture to prayer, our daily conversation with the one who invites us, who wants to surprise us, and the one who wants to love us all the time.
Wonderful.
Thank you, Maya.
Yeah, and my take home is very much linked to that, and it's to spend some time looking for the treasure where my heart sits, which is in those things that have been discussed. Thank you.
And look, my take home, I cannot go past that kaleidoscope. Looking
I
forward to hearing the song, Rossio. But
will.
what an image for faith, the colour, the movement, the this is what faith is. This is the joy. This is the delight. This is the being chosen that we've been reflecting on. Well, thank you. And wherever you are listening, you are with us. You're part of this conversation. And if you want to offer a comment, we're very happy to receive your comments at the link below. And we'll conclude, as I always do, with the collect, the opening prayer for this Sunday. And the reason I choose the collect and the is that. It's that we'll hear it. We'll all hear it. Those of us who are at the liturgy that will hear it. So it's good to hear it before, and so that when we hear it again during the Eucharist, we say, ah, that's right. Let us pray. Almighty and ever-living God, whom, taught by the Holy Spirit, we dare to call our Father, bring, we pray, to perfection in our hearts the spirit of adoption as your sons and daughters, that we may merit to enter into the inheritance which you have promised through our Lord Jesus Christ, your Son, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, God, forever and ever.
Amen.
Amen.
The kaleidoscope, we cannot control the shape of it, isn't it? But